Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the October 28th edition of Commodity Week.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, the Greek debt has been forgiven, or written down at least, to the tune of 50%. Sounds a bit like a default, but the markets have breathed a sigh of relief. With that pressure out of the way and Europe working together, will the price of agricultural commodities have reason to rebound? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with soybean and corn advisors Michael Cordonnier about the start to the South American growing season. Our panelists in studio today include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. Let's start with this question. Wayne Nelson, of course, they tried to fix the Grecian problem during the week, and they came to some solution. The question is whether the sigh of relief that the global economy felt can bring a fundamental push to the upside in the commodity markets over the longer run. Do you think that'll be the case?
Well, Todd, of course, we saw a great reaction on Thursday to the plan. Then we had sort of a subsiding activity as we looked at it and said, this is all great in theory. Can they go ahead and do it? And then we saw the stabilization. I mean, the focus now is going to quickly go from Greece, but then we'll go to Italy and then to Spain. And don't forget the U.S. Congress faces the past approaching deadline to where we're going to try to cut our $1.2 trillion too. And we haven't quite got there yet ourselves.
Pete Manhart?
I think it's going to be a continuing ongoing program problem like it has been for 6 months, after we started today and had things nicely higher. China, who had supposedly said they were going to help with this problem, kind of came out and said, well, we're not really don't need to spend anything right now. So we had beans down 18 from that, part of it maybe from South America having a great start. But I think it's going to be a continuing problem. It's just more in the background, so we can go up when it's in the background.
And Bill Mayer.
Well, I think any plan is better than no plan at all, and that's kind of what the market told us on Thursday. The thing that we've seen is it's just one thing that hangs over the top of the market and really has just prevented a lot of volume. It's just really hard to get any enthusiasm at all in this marketplace. Seemed like we got a little bit back Thursday, but like Pete said, it didn't last very long.
Bill, December corn this week had a high of $6.61¾. It's low at $6.33. Settled at $6.55, up 5¾. And December of next year finished 12¾ higher at $6.16. Can you take up both old and new crop sales and what the potentials ought to be in the farmer's mind at this point?
Well, it looks like we've tried to reach that 660 level, as you said, several times here on the old crop corn. Basis is very tight. That's why we have that inverse in the market, one of the reasons. And I've been telling people as they get to that storage or no storage in commercial elevator decision that there's nothing wrong with taking the tight basis levels, liquidate the cash and then manage the position on the board if you want to do it with futures or options. As far as new crop corn goes, I'm kind of in the boat of we've made some sales earlier, but I think $6 cash is a pretty good level to target to get some sales, additional sales on, and we're not quite there yet.
Well, if we look at where we've been in the last month, we're still on corn about 80 cents above the lows that we made not very long ago, and that we expected a dollar back up from the $2 down drop. So I don't see anything wrong with selling cash. If you're happy with that price along with what you've already sold, I would be looking then to next year and have 10-15% of it sold already at above the six number. We were 650 not long ago in that December 12. But I would be looking at on down days if you feel like wanting to be in the market for a move up, to be either buying futures or calls on what you're getting rid of.
It's very early in the marketing year, Wayne. We just got the harvest really more than halfway done. But there are some thoughts that because this is a short crop and it will have a long tail, that the peak came early. I don't know whether I want to ask you whether over the next 12 months, whether we've already put the top in or not, but we've had an early peak. Should producers look at it much as if this is a top that's already been made in the market and make their marketing decisions based off of that idea?
Well, Todd, that's a thought that many people have out here. We're looking as they both have said here before me, this basis level is tremendous. We doubt we can hold this kind of level if we get a rally in the futures market. That's why a lot of people are saying at least make some basis sales now and with the idea if we do get something going on. I think the answer to your question is going to be easier to answer after we get the next USDA report and we see what they do with yields. We're hearing, Ag Resource and a few of the others are saying in that 144, 145 bracket. Heard that Cargill was mentioning some of the lower levels like that. We're not seeing corn lines at elevators for corn dumping. We're not seeing basis levels like this because elevators are buying a lot of corn. And it seems to be coming out of the field here. So is this yield going to be a little lower than what we thought earlier and what everything is looking at? And if it is, then maybe the high isn't in. But otherwise, we have to be very aggressive at wanting to sell these basis levels.
Pete, basis plays tend to be what the elevators use to make their money and their margin. So it's quite likely that the corn that's coming in and being moved through the elevator doesn't stay there very long. Are they likely to be empty by the time we get to May, June, July next year? And what do you think about that?
I think a lot of elevators will be that way, especially the co-ops that move it right on through. We heard news Friday that there were some private elevators that were hoarding corn because they thought it was going to get a lot higher. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but if you can make that basis work and work with those prices, I would be moving it as we go on. And if you need to replace something later, do that.
And of course, he's talking about the producer making the basis work. The elevator is going to make it work one way or the other. And you made that suggestion earlier that producers probably ought to be looking at that basis if they can make it work.
And Wayne mentioned the basis contract. If you don't want to lose the ownership, the futures ownership of it, you can use a basis contract and at least lock that part in. But I guess I have a little bit more, a different take on it maybe. Okay. I think the reason the basis is tight is because the farmers haven't been selling. And the reason the farmers haven't been selling is because they made sales earlier, good sales, and they are in a pretty flush position financially. So I'm not so sure that we don't have maybe that we're not pushing some backup of corn, down the road, too, that we could see, like, say, in January, a good movement of corn that might weaken the basis from where we're at today, too.
If you're correct, this is a false high, right?
From a basis standpoint. The other side of your question is on the futures. I think that the thing that I said earlier as far as this no interest in really getting in the market at all right now, especially on the speculative side, if you look at the fund position, they're about 25% of what they have been at their peak last summer. So, I mean, I think we have a lot of volatility yet to come. We got to get through harvest here first.
Why do you suppose they're not in the marketplace?
Well, I think part of it is the European situation that's just been keeping people uncertainty and scared to get in there.
Volume in the last 2-3 weeks has been very poor. Just to people are saying, I don't want risk. Get me off of risk. Funds are doing that. Everybody's doing it. Just get me out of everything, and I'm going to sit here with cash waiting for down the road for an opportunity until this problem goes away, which, you know, it's supposedly better now, but I don't know that it's going to go away.
We've been worried about whether it's inflation or whether it's deflation. We're going to be worried about bankruptcy and banks in trouble, Todd. And if these banks do take the 50% write-off for this Greek debt, that is going to take some of their extra funds. We saw some liquidation by two or three of the funds were financed by the European banks because the European banks want to get back to where they have that extra cash or that 9% reserve that's called for in some of these new policies being put out. And that means they're having to pull back in their cash. Now, we did see the GDP grow on up here in the U.S., and that was a very good sign. We saw our stock market. The stock market was actually the best October we've seen in 24 years as far as our stock market reacted. And there's a big interest in equities now, not the commodities right now, just because of the way they've fluctuated up and down and not knowing what we can or can't do. And the one thing is, China is going to South America before they're coming to the U.S. right now.
December wheat this week had a high of $6.52¾. It's low at $6.16½. Settlement price up 12.5 cents at $6.44½. Next year's July, the harvest month, $6.90, up 21½. November soybeans, $12.43 on the top, the bottom at $12.09½. The settlement price week over week up 4¾ cents at $12.17. Remember, the high and the low are the overnight and day trade for all 5 days of the week. November 2012, that is, finished at $12.08, up 27¾ cents in the bean pit. Let's take up just for a moment, Bill, the U.S. dollar, exports of soybeans, the potential for it to strengthen, what that might mean, and you probably want to talk about QE3 or quantitative easing somewhere along the line too.
Yeah, that's a lot of that's a basket full of stuff there. Let's start with the dollar. I mean, I think one of the positives that we saw this week, of course, with the European announcement, was the dollar dropped about as much as I can remember it dropping in a single day there on Thursday, and that really I guess our reaction in the grains maybe wasn't as great as it should have been for that kind of drop in the dollar. I think that as far as soybean exports go, we're going to have more competition out of South America. We'll talk to Michael here later. But I do think that China is going to be very aggressive and be very aggressive trying to build their reserves back and increase their usage of soybeans and oil products. So I guess I kind of see that as a wash. I mean, I think we're going to have soybean exports pretty similar to what we had last year, maybe a little bit higher than what the USDA says.
Pete, the USDA in its last WASD figures gave us a trading range cash price for soybeans, and these would have been things that have already been sold up front, too, from $12.15 to $14.15. We're down kind of on the bottom end of this for the cash price at this point.
Yeah, without any good basis here below it on cash right now. And I still feel like China's going to come in and buy. They still want to double their pork production. They want their people fed. They don't want riots like North Africa had and people push them out of power. So I think they're going to continue to buy. I think all those stocks that they did use, they are going to try at these lower prices that now they think they can get to haul more beans over there to crush, to get to oil for the people and meal for the livestock.
So your opinion is that they'll be in. They're just later than they have been this last year and the previous year.
And South America has had a bigger tail with more crop to buy. I think South America growing more will have them getting there more, but I think they are still going to buy record amounts, thus keeping our carryout in the world not in that bad of shape.
You agree with that one on China being?
Scares me to death, Todd. We're looking, our soybean sales are weak. They're lagging behind last year. We're looking that South America is staying in the market longer, and they've picked up a bigger share of it because of their better crop and because of their better, more competitive price right now. Also, their meal is creating a lot higher protein than ours is. We're having trouble getting up to protein levels, so they're wanting to stick with that as we go. We've got to remember, too, that we're seeing a lot of feed wheat from the Black Sea area go into China, into some of the feed that they might not need quite as much meal with some of the stuff they're doing that way. We're also seeing great amount of DDGs being shipped in containers to China, which cut back on the amount of meal they're going to do. if we drop 50 million bushel on our exports on the next report, that makes up for 7/10 of a bushel per acre in the yield. So the yield could actually go down 7/10 of an acre. And by the way that we're looking at our exports going here, that could be the same as, you know, the same as a 50 million drop.
Best marketing thought for soybeans, and we'll ask everybody that question.
I think we want to wait and hang on in here until the report on the 9th, Todd, but I think that I want to be more aggressive than not. We saw great spreading, buying of corn and wheat and selling of beans on Friday.
Pete Manhart?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The August or the November 9th report will come back and maybe haunt us, but I want to be ready to sell on any days up like we had on Thursday.
And Bill Mayer?
I think you kind of target that $13 area on the futures. If you get up in that area or above 1250 cash, that's probably a pretty good sale right now.
In just a couple of minutes, we'll return and we'll talk with Michael Cordonier of Corn and Soybean Advisor. You're listening to Commodity Week. It's production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It was another seesaw week of fall weather across Illinois with warm weather, cool weather, and just a little bit of rain. Temperatures this week averaged 2 to 4 degrees above normal thanks to the warm weather the first half of the week. High temperatures on Tuesday were in the 70s statewide, and that's about 10 degrees or so above normal. A cold front dropped south through Illinois on Wednesday, and temperatures the last half of the week averaged below normal. The cold front and several low pressure waves along it brought rain chances to Illinois on Wednesday and Thursday, but the actual amounts were small as the rain tended to be spotty in coverage. The heaviest and more uniform rain fell in far southern Illinois, where up to an inch was measured. Measurable rain was more scarce in northern Illinois, and there were many locations that saw a trace or no rain. Initially cool weather this weekend will give way as winds swing into the southwest late Saturday and Sunday. However, another cold front will push through Illinois, and that will delay any big warm-up until Tuesday. However, it does look like Halloween Monday will be sunny and seasonable across the state. A third cold front will drop through Illinois about midweek, setting the stage for possibly the coldest weather of the season so far on Thursday and Friday. That cold front should be accompanied by only widely scattered showers. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the October 28 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Visit us online at willag.org. Our studio panelists include Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. Our guest on the phone line, Michael Cordonier. He's with Soybean and Corn Advisor out of Hinsdale, Illinois, and an expert on South American crops. Mr. Cordonier, thank you so much for taking the time. Most people are telling us that the South American corn and soybean crops are off to a good start. What's your assessment?
Well, they certainly are. Let's go through each country. Start off with Brazil. The weather in Brazil has been quite good. The rainy season, I think, started pretty good in central Brazil. And I think the best part of it is it started very good in eastern Brazil, which normally starts up raining later. But planting is well underway in Brazil. Their soybean crop is about 33% planted. That's ahead of last year and the average. And they're planting full force right now across the whole country. Now, I have the soybean area in Brazil up about 600,000 hectares from last year, or about 2.5%. And right now, most people are plugging in yields a little bit below last year's level because last year we had a record yield. So we're going to have a soybean production in Brazil of about 74 to 75 million tons, which is about equal to last year's production. I think the big difference in Brazil this year is the corn. Brazil's corn area is going to be up about 6%. The full season corn, which they're planting right now, I have it up 4%. And then the second crop of corn called the safrinha, which they'll plant in January and February, I have that up about 10%. So the early soybean planting is good news for that second crop of corn, because that means they'll be able to harvest the beans early, then plant the corn in January and February. And I have the Brazilian corn crop at about 62 to 63 million tons. That's 5 or 6 million tons more than last year. So it's really a big increase in the corn. Now, in Argentina, they're planting the corn right now, and the corn crop in Argentina is about 55% planted, and I have the Argentine corn area up about 18 to 19%, about 600,000 acre increase. So a big shift into more corn production. The soybeans in Argentina right now are about 6% planted. That's compared to 13% last year, so a little bit slow. But the weather has been improving. The dry pockets that were there before are starting to shrink in Argentina. So it's going along pretty good, I think, right now. To give you a comparison, the crop right now, the corn crop, is 13% slower than last year. But last week they were 19% slower, and the week before that they were 22% slower. So they're getting better. And I have the soybean area in Argentina up about 2.5%, and the soybean production of 53 to 54 million tons, and that's up about 3.5 to 4.5 million tons. Now, if we combine the other countries along with these two in Argentina, I have the total South America soybean area up about 3%, and the total soybean production up about 2% compared to last year, which would be 3 million tons. Then in for corn, for all of South America, I have the area up about 9%, and a total corn production up about 10 million tons, or 12 or 13%. So a small increase for soybeans, but a nice increase in corn.
Yeah, Michael, this is Bill Mayer. Whenever you look at the, it seems like on the soybean side of things, there's such a spread out planting and, you know, growing season compared to what we had back several years ago. What are there any hot spots or anything, you know, trouble spots that we should be looking at right now or anything that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think I don't see any hot spots right now, but what we should be paying attention to, and you talked about earlier about exports and things like that, the trend in Brazil is early planting of early maturing beans, you know, 95-day maturity beans. Those beans will be ready to harvest starting about mid-January, early February, and I do expect early soybean exports out of Brazil. During the month of February, we might see 2 million tons of beans coming out of Brazil. That would be a record. Last year, we only had 7/10 of 1 million tons coming out in February. So the beans are going to be planted early, they're going to be harvested early, and they're going to be exported early, and it's going to cut our export season off by maybe 3 weeks next February.
Infrastructure to do that?
Yes, they do. Okay. Early on, yeah, they have the infrastructure. Now, the problem comes in later on when they're trying to export a lot of corn, a lot of soybeans at the same time. But to get it up and running, they have the infrastructure to do that. And infrastructure continues to be a big bottleneck in Brazil. They continue to increase their production, but their infrastructure, especially their port infrastructure, has not kept up. Now, they get all the beans exported. It just has a longer tail to it because it takes a longer time to get it out of the country.
How about political? Do they have any political problems as far as, you know, last year they had a lot of problems with farmers selling this, that, and the other, of being able to export due to the politics?
Well, I think the politics in Argentina actually are very interesting. Mrs. Kirchner just won a landslide reelection, so she'll be there for 4 more years. But she has really softened her tone towards the farmers, and the farmers have decided she's going to be there, so you have to work with her. And in fact, the government is proposing a new export plan for corn in Argentina, where they would set aside 40% of the corn for domestic consumption, but then the rest of the crop would be available for exporters to bid on and to export out of the country. Now, that would be a huge improvement over what they got right now. And what I think would happen is it would raise the price of corn to the Argentine farmer because there'd be more competition by the exporters. The Argentine farmer could then forward sell because the exporters know they'll be able to sell into the world market. And I think this gives an incentive to grow more corn. Now, it won't happen this year. It's too late this year, but in next year and the future years. And the Argentine farmers know they have to do more rotations. For the last couple of years, they've been planting 7 or 8 times more acres of soybeans than corn, so they can't rotate. And they didn't like corn because the government was interfering in the corn export market. Well, now it looks like they're going to interfere less. It's not a free market like we would think of it, but it's like halfway to a free market. And given that opportunity, I think they'll plant a lot more corn so they can rotate and take care of some of their disease issues and nematodes and things like that for soybeans.
Does this project and say that the U.S. farmers should be planting less corn and more beans? That doesn't sound very good for the corn export business for the U.S. in the coming years.
Well, I don't think it sounds very good for corn export business. Argentina is the second biggest exporter. Oh, and along with this, President Kirchner released a plan about a month or two ago that by the year 2020, they want to increase grain production by 60%. Now, they could not do that just looking at soybeans. So you'd have to increase your corn, and I think this is part of the plan to do that. And I'm sure, well, I'm not sure, but I suspect that China is part of the reason behind this change in export policy. You know, China and Argentina are developing phytosanitary standards now for corn exports to China. And I'm sure the Chinese probably told the Argentines, listen, if we're going to buy your corn, you got to be a reliable supplier. We have to know that you can load the vessel when we want that vessel loaded. In years past, we all heard of the labor strikes and all the problems in Argentina and, you know, vessels waiting a month to load. Well, China does not want that for sure if they're going to start buying a lot of corn out of China or a lot of corn out of Argentina. So I think they were probably part of the push behind making this more of a standardized export program.
Does this mean that they'll have fewer acres to plant to wheat?
Maybe a fewer to wheat. But, you know, in Argentina, they still have a lot of hay and pasture. Now, most of the good stuff has already been converted to row crops. So the increase in corn this year came out of soybean acres. And as a result, new soybean acres are moving northward in Argentina. In some of the northern provinces, they're clearing land and converting what was kind of scrub pasture into soybean production. So there's still land to go for all the new crops in Argentina.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cordonnier. We appreciate it.
Always my pleasure.
Michael Cordonnier is with Soybean and Corn Advisor. You can find him online at soybeansandcornadvisor.com. Now, a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Bill Mayer.
It looks like the crop insurance numbers for the fall are going to come in around 632 on the corn, 1214 on the bean. That's compared to 601 last spring and 1349. So, as you finish up harvest, make sure you kind of look and see what that does and what you may have as far as claims.
Pete Manhart?
As you're finishing up out there, continue to be careful. And when you need info, don't be afraid to call anybody like one of us.
Wayne Nelson?
I think that we want to look for some rallies over the next couple weeks as an opportunity to do a little selling.
And that wraps up this October 28 edition of Commodity Week. Thanks to Wayne Nelson, Pete Manhart, and Bill Mayer, our studio guest and our phone line guest, Michael Cordonnier. I'm Todd Gleason.